I want to thank each one of you for joining us this week and every week as we've transitioned to sort of an online service. I want to remind you that we are working our way through a study guide through Core 52. And if you don't have this book, we're working through it every Sunday, chapter by chapter. Today, we're going to be in chapter 13. And we invite you to join us there. If you want to look up the scriptures for this week, it is Psalm 118, chapter 118, verse 22, and then Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to get there in just a minute. So we're simply trying to take each week as they come, and we're still not sure when we're going to be able to meet in person. So for now, this is kind of what it is. And so I want to take just a couple seconds at the beginning of this teaching time to share a few thank yous. I want to thank our staff and tech team who've been working really hard under just different circumstances to not only make church happen kind of behind the scenes, everything, but also to make these services happen for our church family. And so not only has our team worked hard to make today happen, but and make it better and better each week, we hope it is, but they've also been coming in on Saturdays to record a service for Restore Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Remember a few years ago, Roger Burns and his family were here, spent a year with us, and then they moved to Jacksonville to start a new church. They meet in a school, and when the schools are shut, no one can meet there, and they don't have the capacity to do what we do, so we invited them to come here on Saturdays, and we record a service for them, which they're playing live today. So I also spoke to a good friend of mine from Cambridge, Maryland yesterday, Aaron, and I believe that some of the church family from Countryside Christian Church are joining us today. So we want to welcome you from up on the eastern shore of Maryland. And so just thank you to Kim Briel, Denise Plourd, Sulin Ilanez, and Gianni Moreland. All of these people are, Sulin's on staff, but the rest are volunteers who've kind of been here helping us make this happen, and so that we can have this time and so that we can do this. And what's nice is that we've been doing this for a couple years and we're learning how to do it better, but you know, some churches weren't up to speed yet, and so we're thankful that all of that work had been done ahead of time. So now, let me ask you this. How many of you watched the TRC Kids Live event on Friday night? Okay, I see a few hands, literally. I see it was really, really good. If you haven't watched it yet with your kids, it was really great. And here's a little secret, adults. It's hilarious for adults, too. Like, it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid. You know how kids used to like shows like Bugs Bunny? But if you were an adult, there was actually some funny stuff in it, you know, that kind of related to adults, too. So watch it. It's saved to our Facebook page and also on our children's ministry page on our website. So thanks to our children's ministry in general for putting together digital content for our kids so that we can stay connected. And families, let me just say, if your kids need more, if we can do something more, let us know. We're trying the best we can to put together things for them. If you missed our Two Rivers Kids Live event or the Kids Stream, they're both still on our website and on Facebook. And I'm thankful to our Emily's. And this morning, I'm really thankful for Kenny in our TRC Kids Stream. So our team has been doing some really cool stuff. Also want to say this. I know that we are feeling a little isolated, you know, staying with our own families. And to be honest, there's some good in that. I've seen some really good things for our family. We're a little more connected. We're a lot less busy, on the go all the time. We get to spend more time together, more family dinners together, more interaction, and that's a good thing for us. I know that we get too busy sometimes, but I want you to be thinking about and stay connected with your Two Rivers Church family or your church family wherever you are. And I think it's really up to each one of us as individuals to reach out and make sure that everyone is staying connected. I mean, I had one day this week where I really kind of got a little bit overwhelmed because I didn't think I could personally, I had the capacity to remember and reach out to the people that may be disconnected, who maybe aren't watching online or maybe not in a small group or not a part of any groups that I see every Sunday and get to hug your neck, but I'm not seeing right now. And so I just had one of those moments this week, like, I'm losing track of that, and it occurred to me that that's not all up to me. It's up to us as a church family. So if there are people that you normally see at Two Rivers or in your church family, you're wondering, how they are, I want you to reach out. I want you to text them. I want you to call them. I want you to reach out on Facebook. Do something, right? Now, one cool thing is that we've seen some new people joining us, not only on Sundays during this time, but also in our small groups. And we're noticing that people are open to jumping into a Zoom meeting, which in some ways is easier, right, than going across town and going to someone's house. It's not quite as personal, but it's still a great time of fellowship with our small groups and with our other groups. And so invite someone. If you would like to start a Zoom small group, just let us know. You can email us at smallgroups@tworiverschurch.com, at info, either one, and we would love to help you do that. I know also that many of you are wondering how our family is doing, and I want to thank you for, I've gotten a lot of texts, and more specifically, I know that a lot of you are wondering how Otis, our dog, is doing through this pandemic situation. And so let me just assure you, Otis is doing fine. To be honest, we kind of keep him on quarantine most of the time anyway. Like, we keep him out of public for a lot of reasons. But here's a picture from last week. This is Otis watching the live stream. So he's very engaged, and we hope that you will invite your pets in to also join us if you'd like. And Otis, as you can see, if anybody needs some Jesus, it's Otis. I can tell you that right now. But he's just bad. But anyway, we're doing fine. Our family's doing fine. We hope yours is as well. We're in the last week of part of our Core 52 study in a series called Mixtape. And we've been working our way chapter by chapter through some of the key verses in the Bible that kind of tie together and web a story together of God's love for us. We've talked about in this series different kinds of mixtapes or playlists that we have, like favorite songs or love songs or inspirational songs or workout mixtapes or playlists. And let me also just stop and say how cool it was last week as so many of you shared some of the songs that have been helping you through this difficult time. And then Amy Richardson, who manages our social media, put together a Spotify playlist. And all of the songs that you suggested are now on a playlist that we can all kind of listen to, and we can be encouraged by what's encouraging each one of you. And so that was really cool. If you can't find you can find the link on our Facebook or Instagram pages. Just one more way we're trying to stay connected while we're apart. And you can add more today. I love the interaction that we get during this time. You can make comments if you're watching on our website or on our Facebook page, and you can suggest some songs that we can add to that playlist. So this week, we're going to wrap up this mixtape series. There's one more mixtape that some of us have made in our lives. Can anybody think of what one more might be? How about a breakup mixtape? If you Google breakup songs, Google makes a quick list of 47 popular songs about breaking up. Songs like Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. Somehow Kelly Clarkson's on all of these lists. I don't really get that, but Someone Like You by Adele, Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier, Justin Timberlake has a song called Cry Me a River, Sinead O'Connor had a song kind of back in the early 90s, Nothing Compares to You. Remember Sinead O'Connor? She got kind of wacky and shaved her head and went on some show and tore up a picture of the Pope, and I don't know, that's the last we heard of her. I'm not sure what the Vatican did to her, but there's all these songs. Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. I know my boy Mike Moyer loves that song, and so that's one of those kind of breakup songs. And then Adele, Rolling in the Deep. There are lots of songs that come out as people are going through breakup or rejection. In the middle of God's book of songs, there's a breakup song. Psalm 118, our key verse for this week is Psalm 118, verse 22. It reads, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Have you ever been rejected? Not too long after Bonnie and I were married, I worked for a swimming pool company in Newport News, Virginia, and I worked there a couple years, and it was okay, but never great. There were some things that the owner of the company promised me that kind of never really came true, and I got a little disillusioned by the whole thing. And one day I went into the office to meet with the owner, and he told me that I needed to turn in my company laptop, my company cell phone. I needed to clean out the company van, and I was driving because I was no longer employed with the company. And I remember calling Bonnie and having to wait for her in the parking lot of the business until she came to pick me up. Talk about rejection. Not easy. Maybe for you it was a job, or maybe it was a friendship, or maybe it was someone you were dating or even married to. No matter what the circumstance, rejection can be hard. I remember thinking, I'm gonna show this guy, right? There's always a little bit of that anger that goes along with rejection, like, who do you think you are? You reject me, I reject you. You know, like kind of going after somebody else. And maybe that's why there's so many breakup songs, because rejection hurts and it kind of motivates. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Jesus arriving in Jerusalem and how he was honored in the same way that a king would be honored as they entered the city of Jerusalem. It was called the triumphal entry. And it ushered in the last few days of Jesus' life before the crucifixion. And it was during this time that Jesus told this story about rejection to some of the Jewish rulers who questioned him while he was at the temple that week. Let's look at together Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read through this and kind of unpack this together this morning. Matthew 21, start with verse 33. Jesus says, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, he dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit." Now, vineyards were among some of the most common agricultural ventures of Jesus' day. Landowners would purchase and prepare the property and then lease it out to the tenants. And the tenants would raise the crop. They would work the fields, raise the crop, and give a certain percentage of the product or the proceeds back to the owner. Now, a vineyard was also a common Old Testament metaphor for Israel that would be understood by Jesus' Jewish audience, especially by those Jewish leaders that were there and kind of accusing Jesus. Now, Jesus describes that vineyard in this story that it has been extremely well prepared, with a wall to protect the crop from wild animals or thieves, a wine press so that the grapes could be harvested and then pressed right there on the site, and a tower where the workers could watch out for fires or robbers. So the landowner sends his servants to collect his part of the harvest. And here's what happens. Pick it up in verse 35. It says, "The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way." Now, this is scandalous. Right, think about it. This was an agreement that the landowner, the vineyard owner, had with these tenants. They agreed to work the soil, to grow the crop and to harvest it and then to share with it. Their part in paying back the vineyard owner was to share with him some of the proceeds or some of the fruit at the end of some of the harvest. But instead of paying their bills, they beat and killed the servants who were sent to collect. Not just once, but several times. The owner must have been at his wits' end. He decides to send someone that they must respect and treat fairly. Look at verse 37. It says, "Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son," he said. "But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance.' So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." So the son, who the landowner loved, was rejected and killed. When Luke records the same story in his gospel, he includes that the people who were listening to Jesus tell the story, they gasped. They said, "May it never be." In other words, this is a scandal. And then Jesus asks a question and answers it. Look at verse 40. Again, Jesus says, "Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him a share of the crop at harvest time." So everyone knows that the landowner will punish those wicked tenants. Verse 41 says, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end." and then rent the vineyard to someone who will pay the owner his share. See, no one would really disagree with this, neither today or in Jesus' day. Now, remember, these Jewish teachers and elders are savvy. They know that the vineyard represents the people of Israel. And they're picking up on the fact that God is the vineyard owner. Then Jesus asks another question and answers it as well. Look at verse 42. It says, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." Here's our key verse from Psalm 118. Jesus quotes it and says, the stone or the son that has been rejected has become the cornerstone. He adds a quote from God's mixtape. Why? Well, to give this story sort of messianic implication, Jesus takes an Old Testament song about the Messiah and inserts it into his story. Then he explains who the story is about. "I will tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." See, Jesus' approach with the experts of the law and the elders of the Jewish people there is no longer veiled or guarded. He just says it. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce fruit. See, they know the correct interpretation, but they badly miss the application. They are the wicked tenants. God is the vineyard owner, and he has sent the Old Testament prophets to them time and time again, and they have not listened to or honored them. Now God is sending his very own son, and they're plotting to take his life in order to save their own positions and prestige. They're about to fulfill Psalm 118, verse 22. They will reject Jesus by killing him. Right, this is the Passion Week. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross. They will reject Jesus and kill him. And with that act, Jesus will be placed by God as the cornerstone. Now, I want to confess something to everyone this morning. When I was growing up, I hate to admit this, I was kind of a Carolina Tar Heel fan. I mean, it kind of pains me to say that out loud, but my dad was a coach. He coached basketball and football and track, and he really liked Dean Smith. And so my mother was from North Carolina, and my dad kind of liked UNC. And so, and then when I was in high school, it was the Michael Jordan Carolina team, Sam Perkins, James Worthy, and it was fun to watch, right? I don't like to admit it, but I kind of like Carolina. Okay, I said it, all right? But when I went to college, something changed. See, I got overloaded with Carolina Blue at this small Bible college that I attended here in Eastern North Carolina, and everyone was a Carolina fan, even people who weren't from Carolina, all over. I don't know how they even heard about Carolina from all over the place, and all of a sudden they come there and they're a Carolina fan. And most of them were very outspoken. You ever met one of those? So I started to like the University of Virginia. So one of my good friends was from Virginia, and he was a UVA fan. And then I graduated from this Bible college, and I moved to Virginia. And so Bonnie and I, when we were first married, she worked for some doctors that had graduated from UVA. And from time to time, they would give us tickets, and we would go to games. And that sort of cemented my love of the University of Virginia sports teams. So let me just kind of backtrack a couple years. Right now, we're supposed to be in the middle of one of my favorite times of year, the NCAA tournament. Well, 2 years ago, Virginia entered the NCAA tournament as the number one overall seed. And they were playing well, and things looked really good for the possibility that they might go all the way and win the national championship, first one in the school's history. Some of you know kind of where this is going, right? A number one seed had never lost to a number 16 seed in the history of the NCAA tournament. And don't you know that my team, who had never won a championship, got beat by a 16 seed, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, in the very first game, the very first round, right? Not even the main campus University of Maryland, right, at College Park, but UMBC. That would be like someone losing, someone in the ACC like Carolina or Duke losing to UNC Greensboro, who are known more for soccer than they are basketball. And not only that, but UMBC's mascot is a retriever. Like, what kind of silly mascot is that? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. They got beat. First time in the history of the NCAA that a 16 had beaten a 1. And guess what? It was my team. Talk about rejection. I don't think that year, I love to watch the NCAA tournament. I don't think that year I watched another game. I was beat with the whole thing. Fast forward another year to last year at this time. 2019, same story. UVA is one of the number one seeds in the tournament again. And this time they make it out of the first round, thankfully. And this time they make it out of the second round. They keep winning and end up as one of the final four teams in the tournament. They beat Auburn in the semifinal and Texas Tech in the final game to win the national championship. And I proudly now wear my University of Virginia shirt to share with all of you Duke and Carolina fans who are out there today. And to be honest, I mean, they're still reigning champs, right? They'll get it for 2 years. From the worst upset in history, maybe in the history of sports, to national championships 1 year later. Or national champions. You know what that's called? That's called redemption. They went from rejection to redemption. The songwriter writes, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." See, Jesus also, more importantly, a lot more important than NCAA basketball and Virginia Cavaliers, Jesus went from rejection to redemption. And although the death of Jesus was a horrible injustice against God himself, it's also the source of our salvation. As ugly as it is, we cherish it. Back to the story Jesus told. See, I think our tendency is to see ourselves as the one that was done wrong or rejected. Right, if you think about the story, the vineyard owner, and he sends his servants there, and they're rejected, and he's done wrong as a vineyard owner, and then the son is rejected and killed. See, I think our tendency to see ourselves as the one who's been done wrong or the one who's been rejected, but if you put yourself in the story as the one who was done wrong, then you're actually projecting yourself as God in the story. If you put yourself in the story as the one rejected, then you're projecting yourself as the Christ figure in the story. But what we should do is put ourselves in the position as the ones who have rejected Jesus. See, it's because of our sin that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. It's because of our rejection of him that we even need that redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." This week and this month, as we make our way to Easter, right? As we make our way to this glorious day where Jesus came back from the dead, as we remember at Easter, Jesus coming back from the dead, let us also remember that Jesus was rejected. And that was God's plan so that he could bring redemption. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for how you have loved us and how you have demonstrated that love to us by sending Jesus. And God, I just pray that as we think about what you have done for us, that you would help us to just take that in. Lord, help us to feel the weight and the pain of what happened to Jesus at Calvary, the rejection, right, by his own people, the Jewish people, the mock trial, the way that they tortured and beat Jesus. Lord, that rejection paved the way for our redemption. And Lord, though it's ugly, it's so beautiful to those of us who believe. So God, help us to take that in today. Help us wherever we are together to think about how Jesus was rejected. Psalm 118 says that the stone that the builders rejected had become the capstone. He went from rejection to redemption. And it's all for your glory, God, and all for our good. And for that, Lord, we're humbled and we're thankful. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.